Hey, Blenders, on this week's show, we discuss the most anticipated films of 2025.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hello, Blenders, and welcome to episode 334 of Real Blend, a podcast that has some very, very exciting news to start off 2025 with. Guys, she said yes. She said yes. I proposed to Zendaya, and she agreed. She agreed. I'm in. Congratulations. I will let you guys know when the date is going to be. Save the date. You guys will probably be involved in some way, shape, or form.
Are you going to take her last name and just be Sean?
Yeah. No, she's going to Zendaya O'Connell. It rolls off the tongue. Right? No?
Definitely. I'm just picturing the wedding photos.
I thought you were picturing the cease and desist. It's going to be arriving in my inbox shortly after the show. Hello, everyone. My name is Sean.
That marriage would definitely challenge her. Classic.
Let's just let that hang there for a little bit. Jake with the first bomb of 2025. Good to see nothing's changed on this show, huh? I hope you guys weren't expecting a reinvention of the wheel.
Oh, because the bar was so high with Zendaya O'Connell.
Yeah, very true. On this week's show, we are going to be going through our most anticipated movies of 2025, which is always a fun 25. Thing to do. And by we, I mean myself, Sean O'Connell, managing editor of Cinema Blend, co-host of the Real Blend podcast, Jake Hamilton of Fox 32 in Chicago, Kev McCarthy of Fox 5 in Washington, D.C., and in the producer's chair, Gabe Kovach, joining us from our humble abodes around the country. Hello, boys. Welcome to a brand new year of Real Blend fun.
We're back, baby.
Hi, Sean, Jacob, Gabriel. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, guys. We all enjoyed some very nice time off.
Today's the last day you can say that, by the way, according to Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's Larry. There's a whole Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where people keep saying Happy New Year to Larry David, and then he finally decides like January 7th is the last day that you can say Happy New Year.
Oh, that's really funny. I had no idea. That's another show that I need to watch.
Oh, dude, you would love it.
That and Veep are two.
Oh,
that,
my God, Veep was brilliant.
Yeah, two shows that are on my radar that I haven't had a chance. Not like they're timely or or that I need to have gotten to them at some point. What are we watching right now? Michelle and I kind of out of shows. I want to start what's the one with the girl from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Oh, I've heard about that. Yeah, dude, have you watched Shogun?
Yes, Caitlin Olson. No, I haven't watched Shogun either. But I did really well at the Globes. Yeah. Right,
Shogun's great. I'm watching Shrinking and really loving it.
That's a good one. I've also heard Slow Horses.
Yeah, I've heard Slow Horses is amazing.
Yeah. I might have to read the book. Kev, what are you watching?
I'm watching a lot of older films. I watched a Vincent Price movie last night called The Tingler.
Cool.
Directed by William Castle.
That was Sean's nickname in college.
The Tickler. Thank you very much.
Once again, cease and desist.
Yes, another cease and desist letter. It's going to be coming through.
Vincent Price film directed by William Castle. Very cool.
Talk about timely.
Yeah.
Vincent Price action. There you go. Well, we're going to be talking about things that are coming to the multiplexes this year with our most anticipated of 2025. If you're watching us on the YouTube channel, hello. Good to see you guys. We've had a couple of really great episodes to end 2024. Tried to hit you guys with some exciting interviews for movies such as Nosferatu. I keep going back to Fincher. I keep thinking the Fincher was a Real Blend one, but if you'd like to listen to my interview with David Fincher, it's on the Cinema Blend channel.
David Fincher.
Please listen to it twice to make Jake extra mad.
Genuinely, it's so unbelievably fantastic.
Well, I appreciate you guys listening to it. And of course, we're available wherever your podcast needs met. If you've signed up for Real Blend Premium, we thank you very much for supporting the show. It gets you an ad-free version of the podcast check the description for information on where you can sign up. Okay, Gabe, what's the order? We're going to do the most anticipated, or we're doing this or that first?
We're going to do this or that first.
Ooh. Terrific. This is a fun segment.
So a special thank you to Mike Kamens, who writes in at the end of every year and sends me this fun game for us to play. We didn't have time to do it during our Top 10s show, but I want to do it now because it's a good time. And this or that is just a simple game where I give each of you two things and you have to decide this or that. Crazy. Mm. Super original. No one's ever heard of it.
But one second, I do want to plug Michael Kamens, who is day one blender and OG. Longtime supporter of the show.
Yes.
Seriously appreciate the work that he puts in for the show. And this or that is a very fun segment. Came to our Tarantino at the New Beverly.
There's an honorary chair for him on Real Blend.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yes. Good dude. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
And in this game, it's our top tens. He takes the two previous years. And he pits each of your top tens against each other to see which would you take, this or that, which is better, which is, kind of up to you to decide.
It's always fun.
Why you're picking it. So it's your 2022 top 10 list versus your 2023 top 10 list. And I think we have enough time today. We usually go through top five, but I think we're going to do all of your top 10s. And we'll be quick. We'll be crazy. And I'll start at 10. I'll go through each of you, and each of you will do one at a time until we get through your number ones. I'll start with Sean.
Okay. Game on.
Hustle or You Hurt My Feelings?
Oh, Hustle. You Hurt My Feelings is probably a movie that I regret putting in the top 10 slot. It's still really good. I like it a lot. It's Julia Louis-Dreyfus, dry as hell performance, really, really, really funny.
That's when she overhears her husband like giving a review of her book.
Correct. Yes. And again, highly recommend it. Think it's great. But if I went back and rewatched it, I bet you there are a few movies that were contending for that 9 and 10 slot that probably deserve to be in. Still recommend it. Hustle is a flat out great movie. That's an Adam Sandler
basketball
movie with Willie Hernan Gomez player.
Why did I think it was the Jennifer Lopez stripper movie?
That was Hustler?
Hustlers.
No. It's like the difference between Alien and
Hustle
Aliens.
Is a prequel to Hustle and Flow, right?
Yes, in this universe it now is. Okay. And it was great because somebody asked Anthony Edwards, who's the Minnesota Timberwolves player, if he would continue to act. And he was like, nah, it was too hard. Like, I don't want to go back and do that. So I'm glad that Hustle is still in the conversation. Like, I'm glad people are still finding it and talking about it.
Jake, your number 10s, The Fabelmans or Air?
Oh,
Fabelmans at 10.
Yeah, I gotta go Fabelmans.
Fabelmans.
It's just, yeah. I mean, it's, I think Air is a much more rewatchable movie.
Sure.
And I think it would be a more of a fun watch, but I mean, there are screenshots of Fabelmans that pop up on my timeline from time to time where I just go, geez, it sounds crazy to say, but I really do think sometimes we take Spielberg for granted these days.
Yeah. No, that's a little bit true. Yeah.
Kev.
The John Ford scene at the end.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Just
terrific.
Kev, your number 10s from 22 and 23 are Clerks 3 or The Creator?
Ooh.
Oh, Clerks 3.
Yeah. Sure. I figured that was easy for you.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I also just, I mean, the ending of Clerks 3 when it goes to black and white is just incredible. I mean, I thought Clerks 3 was just an emotional, I mean, I remember seeing Clerks 2 and loving how emotional that film was. And, you know, as crude or as, you know, as raunchy as Kevin Smith's movies are, like, I always think the emotional core of the stories is what makes the comedy work so well. You know, like when you watch Mallrats, I mean, I do care about the relationships, even though the dialogue is so, there's so much profanity and raunchy language, but I still care. I think as he got older in his career with Clerks 2 and then Clerks 3, the emotional elements gotten deeper. And I think that's what I love more about his films nowadays.
Kevin, where did you watch Clerks 3?
Ooh, good question. Good question.
I think was it in California somewhere?
It was in California somewhere.
Yeah. I was trying to remember. Yeah.
All right.
Kev, we're going to go back to you. I'll go back up the list.
Snake it, baby.
Your number 9s, Scream or Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny?
Ooh. Oh, that's tough. Now, Scream 5, I thought, was my favorite Scream since Wes Craven's film. And I think it was, in my opinion, like the best version of
the original one.
Yeah, Wes Craven's original Scream. I thought this was my favorite since. Because it was the first time I had really felt that same feeling again that I felt in the theater in 96. I'm going to go with Indiana Jones because I thought the ending of that film, the third act, is brilliant. And Ford's character coming face to face with history that he's been studying his entire career was just fascinating to me. And I thought it was an incredible third act. I'd take Indiana Jones.
Jakey, your number nines, Elvis or Poor Things?
I'm going to go with Elvis.
Really?
Yeah, I love the wild, crazy messiness of Elvis.
Two wild, crazy movies.
But I haven't really, like, I would be cool if, like, someone, like, if I found out someone in a group hadn't watched Elvis, I'd be like, oh, cool, we got to watch that. Like, I don't really have a ton of urge to rewatch Poor Things or often think about it that much, to be honest with you.
Over the holiday break, I started Kinds of Kindness, and I got about 40 minutes into it. And I was really digging it, and I had to stop it for a reason. So I'm going to go back and finish it because I'm really curious, but I was digging it so far.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Sean, you can pick this up because your number nines are Bardo or Poor Things.
Poor Things. Bardo's a great film, though. That's in Iñárritu, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Terrific, terrific film. But I'll do Poor Things. I'll keep Poor Things in the world.
Now, here's a magnificent matchup here for you, Sean. At number eight.
This is going to hurt.
The Fablemans or Maestro?
Come on. That's an easy answer.
That's so funny that you say that because I've got a record down here on the floor. I'm cleaning out the office and I have an LP of the Maestro score. And I thought, boy, that's a movie I wouldn't put back on anytime soon. And I loved it. And these movies that make our top 10, they don't have rewatchability or I don't feel compelled to put a lot of them on, which is very interesting to me. So the Fablemans.
I mean, I'm not going
to
say what it was, but Sean, we already got a text from you about our 2024 top tens where we're rewatching a movie where that didn't make your list, where you said, you know, I really should have put this on my list.
Yeah, that's true. I know. Yeah. All right. So I'm going Fablemans in this instance. And I think Maestro is great, but I don't know if I'd rewatch it again anytime soon.
I did not like Maestro.
Jake, your number eight's Nope or Barbie?
Nope. Easy. Easy.
Nope. Was that low?
Yeah, I guess so. Wow. I'd have to listen to the rest of my list, but Nope is a stand the tester. That's one that I won't ever regret putting in my top 10.
Kev, your number eight, The Adam Project or Barbie?
Mm. Ooh, wow. That's a tough one. I'll probably keep Barbie because I love Adam Project. I love the bar scene with Jennifer Garner and Ryan Reynolds is amazing. But Barbie, I mean, we had a movie that had a 2001 homage open up a film that made over $1 billion. So I'm happy that Kubrick is still around. But Greta Gerwig did a brilliant job with that film. So
Kev, keep it going. Your number sevens, Avatar: The Way of Water or Poor Things?
Poor Things, because I think the production design in that film should be studied forever.
So good.
And I just love the juggling of the comedy and the drama and the discovery of Emma Stone's character. So Poor Things for sure.
Love that. Jakey, your number sevens, The Whale or Talk to Me?
Oh, Talk to Me. I think it's such a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant horror movie. And I could honestly see myself. It's so funny. Over the holidays, I had a bunch of family over at the house in Texas. And someone brought up like, oh, I hadn't watched The Whale. Should we watch The Whale? And I was like, honestly, I was like, you guys can. But if you do, I'm going to do something else. Like, I'm just not going to ever rewatch that.
The follow up to Talk to Me is supposed to drop this year.
Oh,
and I don't know if it's a sequel, but it's the next movie those two guys are
like
ranking.
Talk and then the number two and then me.
I hope so. Yeah.
Mm. I actually think it is.
I think really that is actually the title.
Yeah. Please.
Look who's talking also, to me. That'd be really funny.
Now You See Me 3 is coming out. And if they don't call that motherfucker Now You 3.
Now You.
They already missed the second one.
It needs to be Now You Don't.
I know. But now we're here.
Yeah.
So let's just embrace it.
Now You 3 Me.
Let's embrace it.
I don't even know what that implies.
Who cares?
John, you're number seven.
Yes.
Man, I forgot this was a movie. Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Oh, I love Marcel.
Or The Killer.
I gotta do Fincher. All right.
Your best friend Fincher.
Yeah, my best friend.
Yeah.
Old Davey Finch.
Didn't want to end the conversation.
Old Davey Finch. He was great. I'll do The Killer.
Keep us going, Sean.
Terrific. Terrific.
You have at number six, your number six is The Batman or Asteroid City? I mean.
The Batman. Wow.
It's the Batman.
That's a movie I regret not putting on my top 10.
It's Asteroid City?
No, Batman.
You didn't have it? Oh,
no, I regret that.
It's amazing.
Wholeheartedly.
And again, I don't hate to defend the movie that I'm banishing into thin air, but Asteroid City is terrific, and I love Wes Anderson.
So. I just rewatched the Batman a month and a half ago, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
It's so good. All right, Jake, your number six is?
Let's go.
Babylon. Ooh. Or John Wick Chapter 4.
Oh,
I gotta go Babylon. I will be that obnoxious person when in 20 years when Babylon is the cool movie to like. I will be that obnoxious person. It's like, I liked it before all of you assholes.
Sure. People just wrong on that movie.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah, it's so
the opening this 30 idea minutes.
That he should be in director jail because of that is insane.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
I'm excited about his Evel Knievel film.
Should be in jail for First Man.
Oh, First Man's
great. First Man's really great. He hasn't made a bad movie.
No, he has not. No, I still think his best is Whiplash.
He should be the opposite. He should be a blank check director right now. Like in my opinion, like,
remake, you know, blank check.
I actually think First Man's his best movie.
No,
I'm a Whiplash man.
Stop.
I think I could see the argument for First Man. It's a very impressive film, and
that's actually my least favorite of his.
La La Land.
Yeah. No. First Man.
We're all talking over.
I would go Babylon, La La Land. No, I'm sorry. Whiplash, La La Land, Babylon, First Man.
Probably where I am.
They're all really great,
and they're all we're split.
All right, Kevin, your number six is Kev, The Fablemans or Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, finally.
Fablemans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm excited. No. I love movies about movies. And that's why also my favorite Scorsese film is Hugo. So
interesting.
Like, I like films about the craft and the story. And I mean, it's just shot incredibly. And
what the Fablemans is missing, though, Kev?
What?
To see who's doing them. Jesse Plemons, baby.
See about these murders? See what about them? See who's doing them.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Killers of the Flower Moon's very good, but I would keep Fablemans.
Yeah, that's a good pick. This episode of Real Blend is brought to you by Rosetta Stone. As you set resolutions for 2025, consider how learning a new language can enrich your life, whether through travel, career advancement, or for many listeners of our show, discovering a new way to appreciate and enjoy foreign language films. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone has been trusted for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. It's designed for long-term retention with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. And it's available on desktop and mobile, so you can continue to learn whenever and wherever is best for you. Start the new year off with a resolution you can reach. Today, Real Blend listeners can take advantage of this new year's special of Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today today.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Number five. All right, this is when it gets really fun. This is when we'll keep the pace up, but this is when it gets. These are top fives now. Kevin, your top fives: Top Gun Maverick,
ooh,
or The Killer.
Oh, that's tough. I rewatched The Killer this weekend. Actually, it's great. I have to go Top Gun Maverick because just purely from an immersion perspective and kind of. Sure. The sequel decades later somehow working if better if not, you know, as equally or if not better than the original, and just the camera work that was done, the cameras in the cockpit, the practical effects, it was an event movie that delivered on every level, and everybody left the theater literally flying high, and no pun intended.
I'm not sure there's a better legacy sequel. Like, I think that's the best example of a legacy.
You're
sequel.
Not wrong. I don't think
It's definitely just a remarkable like turn of events how that story came
together. Does Force Awakens count as a legacy I mean, it does the whole legacy sequel thing.
I'd put Top Gun ahead of it, though.
I think so.
Oh, I would put Force Awakens ahead of Top Gun.
Really?
I love Force Awakens, but Top Gun Maverick is better than Force Awakens.
I saw Monica Barbaro and Glenn Powell hugging each other on the red carpet, and it was like a Top Gun reunion. And I thought, well, that movie is going to be remembered as a film that birthed a bunch of careers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We're going to keep it going. The top fives. Jakey, you have X or Past Lives.
Oh, I have to go with X. I've rewatched that movie. I think it's so fun.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's one of my favorite horror movies of the last decade. What I'm about to tell you, you're going to scoff at, and I beg for your forgiveness preemptively. I had to pause for a minute and go, wait, what was Past Lives?
Oh, I thought you had to pause on X.
No, X I know. Which funny, because I actually ended up not liking the rest of the trilogy. I don't particularly care for Pearl, and I actively disliked Maxine.
Right.
But I love X.
Huh.
Sean, Emergency or Barbie?
Mm. Oh, I'm glad you put it. I like Emergency.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a great, great story.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to keep Emergency in that.
Oh, really? That's what I thought you were going to choose. Sense.
I think I'm going to pick Emergency, and you know, no disrespect to Barbie at all, but I think the Emergency is unlike anything I've ever seen before.
It took me a minute. At first, I thought Emergency was Ambulance.
Yeah.
Oh,
those are two different movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the vitamin C stuff I put in my drink when I was sick. That's what I thought you were talking about.
I put it at number four because it's keeping you healthy.
Sean, we're going to keep you going at number four.
Yes.
Glass Onion or No One Will Save You?
Fuck.
No One Will Save You is the alien movie?
Caitlin Dever. Yeah, herself in the farmhouse. Yeah,
I like that.
Yes.
This is so, the fact that like a year later, I'm like, wait, what is that movie?
That's my hardest one so far. And I'm going to go Glass Onion because that's delicious.
It's great. It's great. I mean, probably my favorite Ed Norton performance, and I don't know how long, or maybe just my favorite Ed Norton movie that I don't know in how long.
He's terrific.
He's great in it.
And it's also a reminder when you see that versus like a complete unknown is also just not that we need it, but a reminder of how good Edward Norton is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Real blend guest Edward Norton.
Yes, it is.
Jake.
Uh-oh.
The Banshees of Inisherin or The Holdovers? Those are two phenomenal films.
Come on, that's not close.
It is close for me. Because you didn't particularly care for Holdovers, did you?
No, I didn't care for Banshees.
I gotta choose Holdovers. It's just such a comfort movie for me. I found myself really, really drawn to that movie when it came out and rewatching it many, many times. And I don't think I've seen Banshees since this past award season or the whatever award season it was.
Barry's listening to this right now and just said, well, there goes that dream.
there goes that dream. or Colin's listening to it going, but you liked me yesterday.
Yeah, true. Your boy.
Oh, boy. Kev, your number fours, The Banshees of Inisherin or Maestro?
Banshees. And I love both, Banshees. But Banshees for sure. I think of Jenny a lot. I really do. I love that.
Jenny.
I love that film.
Tenderly.
And honestly, like that was like an animal character that was like so impactful in the story. And I love that movie. I remember interviewing Colin Farrell, I think last year for that Sugar show. We were talking about Jenny. I love that movie.
Maestro at four. That's pretty high for you.
I love Maestro. I thought it was incredible.
Yeah, that's high. Top Kev. Five.
Yeah.
Keep us going with your number threes. You have The Whale or The Holdovers.
The Whale is high for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love The Whale. The Whale was brilliant, but I have to keep The Holdovers because it's kind of like Jake was saying.
It's so good.
Man, it's just Kevin got to keep The Holdovers and Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
Yeah,
but Holdovers was really an incredible story. And I think for someone, I mean, I love the there was this medication aspect to the story where both the character of Paul and I'm blanking on the gentleman's name who played the student, but they were on the
Dominic,
same medication.
Dominic Sasa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a really, I thought about myself when I was in school being on medications and not being able to talk to my teachers or people about being on medications growing up. And that was a really interesting side story that I thought was fascinating.
Can we acknowledge The Whale, directed by our greatest living filmmaker also.
Of all time, yeah.
Darren Aronofsky.
Right. And for people that don't know, that's kind of a joke, but also he's a great director, so it's not really a joke. It's kind of thin ice that we're playing with in this bit.
He's doing a movie with Austin Butler next, is that right?
Oh, I don't know, maybe. That's cool. Sounds great.
Based on a book, I have to remember the name of it, yeah.
Yes, please.
Jake, your number three is Jake. Avatar The Way of... Dune.
Aronofsky's Dune. Sorry, Gabe.
That's all right. Jake, your number three is Avatar The Way of Water or Killers of the Flower Moon?
Three for Avatar.
Oh, I love... I still love Way of Water. Still, oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, don't make me do this. I gotta go Killers of the Flower Moon.
All right.
I mean, that's just a... I
can respect it.
Just am in awe of... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jim.
Pretty tremendous picture.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Well, he's got about 7 more shots at that to make your list.
He already made my list, but then got cut from. Whenever I start making my top tens from now on, I'm going to compare them each slot to top 10 from last year.
Think ahead.
Sean, your number three is Babylon.
Yes.
Or Talk to Me.
Babylon and just because of the sheer scope of it.
Yeah.
But Talk to Me is amazing.
Yeah.
Babylon could be the number one on a lot of years.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, very true. This year, he should re-release it in theaters.
Yeah. Number two, Sean, your number twos. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once or Oppenheimer?
Oh, Kev, I'm sorry. I got to go to the Daniels. Wow. I gotta go Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Nice.
As flawless as Oppenheimer is, Everything Everywhere All at Once is so unique and so rewarding. Yeah, I gotta go Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I didn't hear a word you just said.
It's okay, Kevin. Your time's coming. Your time's coming for to deal with that trauma. Jake, your number twos, Everything Everywhere All at Once or Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse?
Oh, Across the Spider-Verse.
Fun matchup, little multiverse matchup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's a great intro. Yeah. But I'm just in awe of Across the Spider-Verse. That is just such a magnificent piece of art. That to steal a quote from Kevin, I just can't believe it exists.
Well, Kevin, that's a perfect setup to throw to you for your number twos. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, or Past Lives? It was all your number two.
Wow.
Wait, where's Babylon on my list?
It's not.
What?
Whoa!
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Babylon was on my top 10. Why
I can double check Kamen's work, but...
Why do you hate movies?
What year was Babylon?
22. But maybe you gave me a different list than you officially put out, so that could sometimes happen. But here, actually, I have it right here. You go ahead. You go ahead and give me your thoughts on that. Everything Everywhere All at Once or Past Lives?
Past Lives. And I love Everything Everywhere All at Once. But Past Lives, I think, Past Lives still sticks with me emotionally, as did Everything Everywhere All at Once, I think, from a production standpoint. But I think production standpoint as well on Past Lives is incredible. But I'm almost certain Babylon was in my top 10.
It's not on your Real Blend top 10. It didn't even make your...
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Maybe it just didn't hit you till later.
Hold on a second, because I loved that film.
Not enough elephant poop.
Wait, what? This was 2022.
2022. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the doc that we use for this show, and it's not there.
I have to go back and look at this because I cannot believe I didn't put that on there.
This is why this is fun. All right, Kev. But I need your attention on this because now the real pain begins.
Yeah, yeah.
Your number ones. Nope. Oh, or Oppenheimer.
Ooh. Oh.
That's not fair at all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you're over here talking about Babylon.
Hoytema, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you can just pick Hoytema. You can just say, yeah, choose Hoytema.
Wow. I honestly don't know how to answer that question.
So technically your answer is nope. You're refusing to answer the question.
Yeah, nope is brilliant, but I have to keep Oppenheimer. I saw Oppenheimer 10 times.
It's Oppenheimer. It's Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it's Oppenheimer, but nope is right there. Right there.
Jordan Peele is telling you to pick Oppenheimer.
Yes, he is.
He's honored. He's honored to be second on that list of two movies.
All right.
Wow. Jake, your number ones. Top Gun Maverick or Oppenheimer? That's a matchup.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I got to go Top Gun.
Ow.
It's
I don't
just,
even know you guys anymore.
It's just genuinely one of my, like, it's the most, I know, granted, I did not see it 10 times, but it's the most I've seen a movie in a theater in a long time, probably since Dark Knight. I just am still, I still will just randomly put that movie on because it makes me feel like, I remember, like, the feeling of that summer, like we saw it, the three of us all saw it so early. Well, Sean, you saw it in Vegas, I think, before us. But Kevin and I, you and I saw it kind of together. You were on the other side of the theater. But we were in San Diego, and just it set the tone for the entire summer. And that for me, that entire summer, that whole, and I remember that year at the end, not really knowing what my number one was going to be, because I felt like I hadn't seen like that awards contender number one. And then I came to the realization, like, oh, Top Gun's my number one. Like, that's the movie I love most, and it still is.
Okay, I do have a quick update. Go ahead. on my okay. So this is written on December 30th of 2022. So
After we would have recorded, yeah.
Correct. So yeah, I said my top 10 favorite films of 2022. Swipe left. Starts with number one, which was Nope. If I did a top 11, Babylon would take that slot. Upon a second viewing, it became one of my favorites of the
year. That's what it was. You hadn't seen it yet. You hadn't seen it the second time.
So it was. That's interesting to me that I forgot that it didn't have it on my original top 10.
That's the beauty of these top 10s, man.
But I am on record for loving that film in December of 2022.
And Kev, if it makes you feel better, Nope or Oppenheimer, Maverick or Oppenheimer, everything or Oppenheimer, I'm taking Oppenheimer every time.
Yeah,
I'm taking Oppenheimer every time. But Sean, that brings us to our last one, and then I need you to throw us to a break. Your number ones: Top Gun Maverick or Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
That's I mean, there's no way you're not picking Spider-Man.
I mean, I have to pick Spider-Man in that one. But it's close. It's really close. I mean, Maverick is
different.
Maverick is a movie that reminds you why you love movies, right? Like, it's just it pushes every button. It's like when you're building a puzzle and all the pieces fit together and you snap that last one into place and it's just a vision. But I have an all-time favorite character, and they're making movies at that level featuring that character. And so for me, it's Across the Spider-Verse. What makes me sad is we're going into another year, that is thereby delaying, Beyond the Spider-Verse, that a movie that I'm not even sure they've even started yet. We're gonna have to wait till that trilogy concludes. But in this instance, I will take Across the Spider-Verse, and I'll thank Michael Kamens for putting this together. Let's throw it to a really quick ad break. On the other side of this, we're going to do Roblin's top five most anticipated films of 2025. And we are back. Okay, so by now, hopefully you guys have taken the time to listen to our top 10s, which is a fun episode that you can find on the channel or on the podcast stream. Beginning of January, we always like to look ahead. We pick the most anticipated films that we would like to see in theaters coming up in 2025. We have a compiled list of Roblin's top five most anticipated movies of 2025. Gabe, why don't you walk us through it? We'll start with number five. What is a choice for Roblin's top five most anticipated?
Yes. So as opposed to the top 10s, we're just going to go right into real blends. These gentlemen have each sent in their personal top fives for most anticipated. Oh, I lost my tab because I'm looking at 2022. Just a sec. Here we go. And this year was different than most years, I found, because your lists were very different. Your lists were very different.
Better be on here, or else I'm going to be pretty upset.
You have a couple that are on here, but there were very few overlaps. There were only a few overlaps, which means that we have three movies tied for fifth place. Oh. And the way that this worked out is each of your number two movies were different and tied for first place. So I'll reveal one of our fifth place movies and whose pick it was, and then that person just let me know what you're excited about. What has you hyped about it? And we'll keep it going.
Cool. Game on.
But at number five, part one, we have Happy Gilmore 2 from Kevin's list.
Nice.
Kevin, what has you stoked on Happy Gilmore 2?
Okay, so I knew this was going to be laughed at, but
I think it's great.
Unlike Happy Gilmore 2.
I mean, Happy Gilmore. So growing up, I feel like it was either Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison?
I'm a Billy Madison guy. Yeah.
And I feel like every person is one or the other, find. Everyone's like, oh, no, I'm a Billy Madison. And I love Billy Madison. But Happy Gilmore, to me, when I saw the Bob Barker scene for the first time, that is one of the funniest things. Because I mean, I had watched The Price is Right all my life. And then to see that scene was just incredible. And so I don't know. I'm just really excited about it. I'm sure it'll be I don't know. I don't want to judge it yet. I don't think it'll be as good as the original. You never know. But sure. You guys all know I'm a Sandler fan. I mean, we Sean and I talk about Hubie Halloween. I mean, we joke about it, but I just enjoy his cast and his friends that come along for the ride. And I'm excited to see what they do with it. Ben Stiller is back. And
yeah, hope for it. Hope that because it's either he got all his friends together to have a good time, you know, and just have a party, or he realized that movie's important to a lot of people and he waited to get an actual script. So I hope it's the latter, you know, I hope that there's actually a reason. But
are you guys excited or interested in this?
I am. Yeah, I definitely am.
I understand that there are a lot of other films this year that are probably a lot more compelling to put on a anticipated list. And I, you know, my honorable mentions, I have a few in there, which we'll get to later on. But yeah,
Jake, why do you hate fun? Jake hates fun.
I'm very excited about Happy Gilmore too.
I don't know. I feel like there are so many elements that are no longer going to be available to us anymore. I feel like the time has changed. Obviously, we lost Carl Weathers. We lost Bob Barker. So, you know, there's so many things where it's just like it's not going to be like the sequel that I think I wanted it to be. And then also, like, it sounds, I promise you, I'm not a hater in this regard, but like Travis Kelce being a part, it all just feels like it's all going to be like a movie that's made because of the things that are like popular or funny at this moment. And it's not going to, it's going to be more reflective of like whatever was popular when they put pen to paper. It does not feel like, oh, they waited for a script. It felt like, oh, they waited for the paycheck.
You don't think it's going to have that Top Gun Maverick effect?
Right. What if they put cameras on the golf balls and they're flying?
Luca already did that with Challengers, baby.
And Tom Cruise is going to ride the golf ball through.
Now you're talking.
All right, Jake. Our next number five was your number two. That's Avatar 3.
Right? Really? Nobody? Jeez. No, you know what's so funny is that I've talked about this a lot. I did not particularly care for Avatar 1. Was bowled over by Avatar The Way of Water. I was completely enamored with it. It really sparked this interest in what Cameron was doing with this world and this story. It, you know, 2 left off on such a cliffhanger that I was like, oh, I'm so ready for 3. And the fact that the whole theme of 3 is going to be this like fire tribe, you know, where, you know, this area of Pandora that everything's on fire. Like,
called Fire and Ash? Is that what
Fire
it's called?
And Ash? Yeah. Fire and Ash. Okay. And just think about the sort of filmmaking that James Cameron does, but set in Pandora. Like, imagine that experience of Way of Water, which I don't think you guys can deny how incredible it was, but imagine that experience, but with fire. Like, how does that not blow your mind?
Cool. I'm in. But I mean, it's the third Avatar.
Yeah. Well, you got plenty more to look forward to. Sean, you round out our three number fives with your number two pick, which is the Fantastic Four First Steps.
Oh, man. Nobody? Really? Interesting. All right. Yeah. I mean, listen, Marvel kid here. I think that Marvel is in a really precarious spot. I think this year has to be pretty big for them. I've been thinking a lot about this. The two competing studios seem to be going in opposite directions. DC does feel like it's trending up. With its announcements and the projects that it has on the horizon, Marvel feels a little bit like it's quickly getting the band back together to try to reclaim some of its magic. But the project that I feel can lead to a new horizon is the introduction of their Fantastic Four, and not the Fantastic Four that we've seen in the Fox universe at this point. It's Kevin Feige betting big on a team that he really loves. I dig the cast a lot. I'm dying to see the trailer because I really want to get a sense of the tone.
When do we get
Marvel,
that?
I'm going to assume soon.
Super Bowl?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if not even before that, because Superman comes out the same month and it had its trailer.
Or maybe with Captain America. Maybe attached to Captain America.
I would assume.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would make a lot of sense.
Probably get through Cap and then they start doing that.
But I mean, Thunderbolts can be what it is. And what's the third Marvel movie that's coming out? Oh, Captain America. And Captain America can be, I mean, it's the fourth Captain America. Like, how excited are we? But it feels
the fourth, but the first, you know?
I agreed. No disrespect to Mackie. But I think Feige understands that he needs Fantastic Four to work, you know? And so if he's putting his attention and his focus creatively on any project, I think it's Fantastic Four. So I'm excited to see what they do with that.
All right. We're into our top four now. Our number four film was only on Kevin's list.
Hey.
And it was his number one. 28 years later.
Oh, nice.
This is not on anybody else's list.
No, that I very seriously considered it.
I'm with you, Kev. I'm with you on that.
I have a lot of reasons. One, I think it's probably one of the best trailers I've ever seen. The trailer is amazing. And two, I'm fascinated to see what an iPhone 15 Pro does for a film of this scale. I don't know if it was shot entirely, but that is the camera that is being reported as being used for the film. It was shot on an iPhone 15 Pro. Here,
really?
Yeah.
What was the first one shot? The first one was shot on like digital, like video, right?
Probably, but those DVD.
Let me look it up. Go ahead.
I think I've only seen each of those movies once. I
rewatched the first one recently, and it's so good. It's really? So heartbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, also the duo of Alex Garland and Danny Boyle and what Alex Garland's gone on to do and what Danny Boyle's gone on to do. Isn't Nia DaCosta doing the second
So that's the
part
thing.
Of
so
28
it's 28 years, part one and part two.
Yes, I think. Let me
and Danny
check
Boyle's
on that.
Only doing one of them.
I thought the other one was it's got a different subtitle to it. I thought it was like an attached
the Bone
story.
Temple.
Yeah.
Well, according to the web, it says 28 years later, sequel. I don't know if this is accurate, if it's called The Bone Temple. That's what IMDb lists it.
They confirmed that title over the Christmas break. Yes, that has been confirmed.
So this one, I'm genuinely fascinated to see what a large scale film looks like on an iPhone. I'm all in on this. The trailer is what's really sold me.
That's a cool ass trailer.
And like I like the cast. And again, Danny Boyle and Alex Garland. Garland just crushed it with Civil War, and Boyle is one of our great filmmakers. Steve Jobs is still one of my favorite movies of all time. I mean, like, he's always innovating, and I'm very interested to see what he does with this. And to be honest with you, it's so weird. Like, this 2025, and I'm excited about a lot of films, but I'm really just more excited about 2026. Because I'm thinking about Jordan Peele's new movie. I'm thinking about Nolan's new movie. And like this year, I'm not.
And we'll probably. Am I wrong in that we'll probably get Spielberg's UFO movie in 2026?
Probably. There's nothing really this year that I'm as hyped about.
I kind of thought that too. Whenever I was going through this year, I kept thinking, because there are so many movies that I was like, oh, are we going to get that this year? I'm like, no, that's 26. Are we going to get that this year? No, that's 26. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're
Jordan Peele's, I thought was going to be this year. And
yeah,
that,
well, they
I
pushed it, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah. So, no disrespect to this year. I'm sure there'll be some great films and we'll all be talking about them. But I just don't have that same excitement like I did over the recent years.
So. Okay.
Number three. This was on Jake's list, on Kevin's honorable mention list, and that's Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning.
Come on, that's my number one. My number one. Sean, what?
Did you watch Dead Reckoning?
Oh, come on, man.
Whoa, wait, this is number
one?
Jake's number one.
It was my number one. Do you mean to list all the Marvel movies where I say, did you watch that?
Fair, very fair.
No, I just, honestly, I love the Mission movies. To me, they are, it's such a cliche, man, but it really is such an experience. And there is no other actor who makes movies more so with the audience in mind than Tom Cruise. And I just know that. I mean, here's the deal. Listen, Sean, you're not right. Like Dead Reckoning not great. Yeah, you're not wrong. Dead Reckoning was not great.
He couldn't bring himself to say
it.
Like, I honestly would be with Jake, but Dead Reckoning did not leave me any interest in the next section of the story.
Do you think that they know that one didn't work? Do you think they're aware?
That's why they changed it, right? Because
yeah,
it was
probably.
Whatever. But I mean, I think the Rebecca Ferguson storyline will be interesting because I know they killed her. And
Do you actually think she's coming back?
Is she coming back?
100%.
Okay, but see, that's going to annoy me because they already faked her death once. That and to suck. Fake her death again would be really lame. Okay, that but dude, my only knock, and this is the issue that I think they need to scale back on. My only knock on Dead Reckoning that I feel like they got to be careful with is that it Dead Reckoning exemplified the fact that they come up with the stunts first and then worry about the story distant second, far later. Mm-hmm. And in the past, it's been pretty incredible how it's worked out for them. Like
the Burj Khalifa is part of the story.
Yeah. Yes. All of them in what was six?
Fallout.
Fallout's my favorite. All of those stunts seamlessly worked in the story. Everything from you know the skydiving to the helicopter to all that, like. All of them in seven feel like a stretch. And again, another thing that we've talked about, don't give me 50 hours worth of behind the scenes making of footage. Yes! Stop doing that. Because by the time we got to the bike jump in seven, I was like, I don't want to say I was over it, but like, I was just sort of like, I've seen all this.
I have a little bit of a hot take. I think the behind the scenes footage of the bike jump looks better.
Yeah,
and the finale of the movie.
Well, because the mountain ends up low, because in order to get rid of the ramp, I find the mountain looks fairly CGI.
It really does.
I mean, I honestly think if Macquarie had cut to the BTS of that moment during the movie, I would have been more engaged in that scene because like it was so cool, like the behind the scenes stuff for that one. Yeah. But
the chase through Rome is better than the bike scene.
Oh, yes. I also think the Halo jump is the same thing. I think the Halo jump looks cooler in the behind the scenes in Fallout.
Yeah, because they had to add the storm.
Lightning.
Oh, the coolest part of Fallout is Henry Cavill. It's just adding Henry Cavill. You didn't need stunts.
Yeah.
Drop him in.
Also, minimal is a smart way to go. One of my favorite stunts in the whole franchise is in 3, when he's on the bridge and the missile hits and he goes against the car. I'm not saying it's simple to do.
Then the jets fly by. Dude, the opening of
great scene.
The best opening of any mission movie is the opening of 3.
With Phil 3 isn't. I think 3 is.
Yeah. When he has them and he's like, "Do you have a girlfriend? Do you have a wife?"
That's a really great sequence. Do you know which one I go back and watch a lot too? Is Rogue Nation. After he is revived from the diving stunt, the motorcycle chase is incredible.
Dude, that shot of him like basically leaning so far over that he's like, what, inches from the ground?
There's a moment where his leg scrapes and he looks real fast. And McQuarrie has said he kept it, but it was Cruz really scraping his leg. But it's just a motorcycle chase. It's not like we got to go out of our mind and it's just executed so flawlessly.
Rogue Nation's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can't believe that wasn't on your list, man.
Nah. All right. Moving on to Real Blends number 2, was technically on all three of your lists. It was on Jake and Kevin's list, and it was on Sean's honorable mention list.
Okay.
Which is F1.
Mm. Oh.
F1.
I mean, it's Kaczynski. Yeah. It's all Kaczynski.
It's Top Gun Maverick. It's like the reason why Nikki Glaser got the Globes was because of her Tom Brady roast, and that made me excited. And again, I think Nikki Glaser was great. I think
confirmed her coming back next year.
Yeah, and I think she had a great career prior to the roast. But that moment of the was what made me excited to watch her on the Globes.
Yeah,
sure.
Same thing with Kaczynski. The Top Gun Maverick is making me excited about F1. I don't know if that's an analogy, but the
global audience for F1 is enormous. Like, if this movie is good, it could be a behemoth.
F1 is so popular.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many people who are into that sport that if Kaczynski figures out a way to put people inside those cars, it looks tremendous.
Looks good. And our number one on all three of your lists, Real Blend's most anticipated movie of the year is James Gunn's Superman.
Hey, good for you guys. Way to be correct.
I do have hesitations.
This was Sean's, just to give clarification, this was Sean's number one. And Jake and Kevin's number 4.
Okay.
Oh, wow. All right. I actually thought I was going to be the outlier.
Way to be right.
What are your hesitations? Just that we've seen Superman movies before?
No, I think my biggest hesitation is that trailer gave me Bryan Singer vibes.
Okay.
And I don't know what even that means, but there were images and shots. Maybe it's the baseball field, unless I'm wrong on that. But there was just something about that trailer that gave me Singer's Superman vibe, Superman Returns. And listen, I'm all for it. I did not love Guardians 2 or 3. I did not love Suicide Squad. I think Slither and Guardians 1 are like my favorite gun films. But if what I'm hearing is right, that this is going to be more on the Guardians 1 level of like where it's, and like I get the idea of bringing more hope into this rather than the darker thematics that we've been dealing with in Snyder's world. I mean, I love Man of Steel and BVS. I'm all in for it. The trailer gave me Bryan Singer Superman Returns vibes. Am I crazy in that? Do you guys notice that too, or it just felt like that?
For me, the trailer, I think, to answer your question, Sean, about like what gives me pause, what gives me concern, why is it as far down on my list as it is that it feels like it's, my concern is that it feels like it's doing too much. Okay. There is a lot in that trailer.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a lot of different characters. There's a lot of different sort of like grounded reality, but also big fantastical monsters. Now, granted, like you got 2 hours and he has already said that he's starting the story kind of not in the middle, but like already going. He's starting the story like Clark's already Superman. Like they already know each other. Lex already hates Superman. So I think in that way, that helps, you know, because I don't have to worry about getting 45 minutes of the origin. Again. Exactly. Yeah. Like I'm good. Yeah. So that helps. But there's a lot of stuff in that trailer that, you know, if you want to give each piece its own, you know, all the secondary characters and all the, you know, Hawkgirl and all that sort of stuff, you know, you got to, I just hope it's paced well, I guess is my concern.
I could see all of that. Yeah, I mean, I think all that stuff is very valid. And the only thing that's going to really answer for it is the movie, you know, is the movie going to work? And similarly to my critique about Fantastic Four and Marvel and Feige understanding that it has to work. I mean, I think Gunn kind of understands that if his universe is going to go anywhere, you know, that this film has to connect. And I'm not saying that they're going to like workshop it or reverse engineer it, you know, to make it a crowd pleaser, but I don't think they're letting him take a bunch of chances, I guess is my thing. I'm not saying there won't be some big swings in it. There could definitely be some big swing. Obviously we're getting a bunch of DC characters we haven't seen before, but I don't think they're going to let him go crazy. I think they still understand like this is a movie that's being made to please the largest possible audience. And we're dropping it right in the middle of the summer season. And I have faith. And the trailer, when I saw it, so I mean, admitted under the circumstances, I got to go out to Warner Brothers and watch it on the lot. But it gave me exactly what I needed to see. Like the crypto bit, I thought was fantastic.
That's
the thing I'm most excited about is crypto, to be honest.
The use of the Williams score, you know, but yet still done in a different way. And I think Corin's Wet looks incredible. I mean, I think he looks fantastic in the part. So, I mean, it was my number one, and we'll see.
I want to be more excited about it. I think James Gunn is a great director. I would just have been more interested with somebody else. Like, I mean, like, again, this would never happen, but Nolan's Superman.
Yeah.
Like just because of what I know, but what he did with Batman was so groundbreaking and so grounded and so genre.
I mean, you're describing Man of Steel, I think.
But Man of Steel kind of is in.
I'm just saying that exists. Yeah.
It's still Snyder's movie. And Man of Steel is pretty.
Kevin, you would put Nolan on any project.
I was going to say, I mean, what movie would be better?
And I knew that would be the interpretation, but I think I just want a different vision. I don't know. The trailer that I saw for Superman looks like a movie I've seen before.
Okay.
That's all it felt like. It could be great.
We're going to throw it to a really quick break. And on the other side, wrap up the show. First one of 2025. Thanks for joining us, guys. All right, so we are going to review some movies that are coming out. Well, one movie that's coming out to theaters and going into theaters wider, which is the musical biopic Better Man about the British pop sensation Robbie Williams. And this is the movie that you've probably seen on your social media feed, where the lead character is played by a CGI chimpanzee. And there's a reason for that, that is explained very early on in the movie. So don't be alarmed if you're a little bit confused by it. And don't be alarmed if you're a little bit confused that you don't know who Robbie Williams is, because I didn't necessarily know who he was at all. And the more that I read about him and the more that I read about his accomplishments in the music industry, the more I'm still to this moment dumbfounded that I don't know who he is, because he's accomplished some of the most impressive feats. Essentially started in a boy band called Take That, that was huge in the UK. Branched out on, he's almost like a Harry Styles, branched out on his own.
I was gonna say, or a Justin Timberlake.
Or a Timberlake, would you go to that extent? Yeah. And has, you know, had incredible solo success, but for whatever reason, it just never really permeated the US market the way that, you know, other artists have been able to, and yet still enormous in his own right. The reason I bring all of that up is that as entertaining as this movie is, and it's by Michael Gracey, who's the director who did The Greatest Showman and obviously can choreograph a massive musical number. There's several of them throughout the course of this movie that utilizes different songs from Robbie Williams' catalog. I could not shake the fact that throughout the course of watching it, I just think I would have enjoyed it more if I had more of a vested interest in him and his career, right? Like, I didn't. The pitfalls of his career, which include substance abuse, didn't stand out to me as being really original. There is one element, one aspect that they kept going back to over the course of his career, is this self-doubt and this self-loathing that would pop up, not routinely, like religiously, as he's performing, where a version of him would be talking back to him throughout his performances, telling him that he's like, he's not good enough. He's a fraud. Everyone sees through him. And it's such a prevalent theme that obviously he hammered at home with the creative team behind it to make sure that this was emphasized. I found that to be really relatable and really heartbreaking to see an artist, you know, someone who he's an interesting figure. It's a dichotomy in that he's born to perform. He feels compelled that when the spotlight's on him, he's the center of the attention in the room, but also has this sort of crippling self-doubt and never really believes. He said in an interview with our great friend Perry Nemiroff that, like, despite all the success that he's had, he hasn't enjoyed any of it, which when you hear him say that is really sad to understand, because he's probably wrestling with a ton of stuff. If you have a passing interest in Robbie Williams, I would highly recommend this movie, because it's a great insight into him as an artist. It would be like me sitting down and listening to, you know, records and records of someone who I have no clue who they are. And then, you know, trying to tell me, like, be interested in this for 2.5 hours. I was mildly interested, sort of passing interested, but it didn't hook me in a way beyond, because I don't really know who he is. But Jake, you said you loved it, though.
Yeah, I did love it. And if I'm going to be honest, I'm not saying it would have made my top 10 list, but I can say that I loved it enough so that I would have at least considered it for, like, those last two or three spots. Like I said, okay. I'm not sure it would have knocked off anything that was on there. But I am with you in that, like, the whole time I was watching it, as much as I loved the movie, and I did, I also kept thinking, God, if I love this movie this much, I almost wish I truly, really did know more about who Robbie Williams was, because I guarantee I'd be over the moon with this movie. I do think that they have a giant hurdle to leap over here in America with both, because whenever I tell people about that movie, the two reactions I get are, who's Robbie Williams? Yeah. Then also, like, what's the deal with the monkey? And even once I, like, explain the bit with the monkey, they're like, okay. I'm like, okay, well, but you kind of forget about the monkey, like, 5 minutes in, and that's, I think, pretty impressive. So
the bit with the monkey is that he feels like
feels like a dancing monkey, on stage. Yeah,
right. And he explains that very early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the featurettes, I think they talked about, Michael asked him, like, what animal or something he relates to, and he considered himself, like, a performing monkey. Okay. And then that's why that's stuck as a visual
choice.
Because
he sees himself that way. Yeah.
And Weta's work on this is absolutely remarkable. I think Angels is the only song that whenever it started playing, I was like, oh, I know that song. I know that one. That's the song when he has a loss in his life that is played at the funeral. But I thought it was just a remark. I mean, even without knowing him and without being familiar with a lot of the music, I just sort of treated it almost like an original musical. And I got to say, there is one musical sequence that I guarantee you most of you listening have probably already seen on your social media feed that I honestly think is one of the, like, look, I love Wicked. It was on my top 10 list, but I think that musical sequence is better directed than anything that's in Wicked.
See, I'm with Kev. It was too CG for me.
I do love that scene. It's just very obvious in certain aspects that the lighting is so, it's almost like AI. Well,
I don't think it's shot like on that street at all.
No, I saw some behind the scenes footage. I think it is.
Did you really?
Because I read a behind the scenes thing that I was going to ask him about today, that they got permission to film there, which is very hard to do.
So what's the name of the street? Is it Carnaby? Is that what it's called?
Regent Street.
Regent Street. Okay.
And gotcha. They, the day before they were set to film there, Queen Elizabeth passed.
Oh,
so they had to, so it got scrapped and they had to come back 5 months later and film that.
Wow.
Okay. And I've seen some behind the scenes footage because I wanted to see how the whole monkey thing worked in terms of the motion capture.
It's not Robbie playing.
No, it's not right. Yeah. This is the guy that we're talking to in the other room. But no, they filmed it on the street from what I saw.
Oh, OK. Interesting. I don't know. I found that scene to be a little bit CGI. Like there are elements where because it's the CGI chimp, you know, or monkey that they have to implement him into real life situations.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does feel a little glossy.
Because no one ever addresses that he's, I mean, that's the point. No one ever addresses that he's a monkey.
Which I liked. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched that scene 3 or 4 times. It's really fun to watch. Yeah. It's set to Rock DJ, which is, it's a great sequence.
I did not know that song. Did you know that song?
They stitch it together really well and lose a lot of old school, like, Hitchcock rope style shots where you go behind something and pick up the shot. I mean, it's very cool. I mean, it just feels a little CG heavy, but I really enjoyed that scene too.
Did you like the movie overall?
Yeah, I was really impressed with it. To me, the heart of the film, besides his relationship with his mother, is really that his father, that whole through line of his father. And to find out that a lot of that stuff really happened specifically towards the end of the film, I thought was really kind of cool. I won't go into any detail or specifics, but I mean, it's obviously based on true stories and real life and things like that. So if you know Robbie's story, then you'll probably know the arc. But if you don't look it up, because I thought the father element was really fascinating. And that really kind of made me emotional. But yeah, I mean, I was thinking of telling him today that, I just for the record, I did not really know much about you as I sat down to watch this movie. I don't know. I don't think you'd be offended by that.
I think it's pretty well established that he's not popular here in the. Yeah.
And I was, I think that's an interesting thing because I learned a lot about him through the film. I think it's an interesting thing. But yeah, I thought the visual effects were fantastic. And I thought it was a really unique way to tell a story. And that's kind of how he viewed himself. Like he would just be put on stage to perform in front of all these people. And he didn't, it just felt like he was, I think it's an interesting commentary, the idea of the monkey aspect of it and kind of how he perceived himself. So, yeah, I enjoyed it.
So that's better, man. It's expanding into more theaters. Its counterparts to me are like Rocket Man, being an Elton John story.
Rocket Man also a little Across the Universe.
I could see that. Sure. Different interpretations of his songs that way. This the movie I'm hearing from so many other people that they're checking out, and I'm glad to see that they're going to go see it, is Complete Unknown, which is Bob Dylan and trying to take a sliver of his life and bring it to a larger audience. And I've heard from more people that they're like, I appreciate Dylan now more, after I saw that movie, and I'm listening to a lot more Bob Dylan. So I hope that film continues to expand as more people see it in theaters. So,
and then The Brutalist is expanding. Well,
oh, is it?
Yeah, cool, it is. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's strap in for that 4-hour excursion.
That's an incredible film. It's a remarkable, remarkable film, and everyone should go see it. It's incredible.
We need to champion it because otherwise Emilio Perez is going to win Best Picture.
So my money's on January 7th. Yeah, let's go around the horn really fast before we wrap up. Best picture front runner. Mine is Wicked for right now, January 7th. Wicked. Wicked is winning.
Brutalist.
Jake. Kevin says Brutalist. Jake, you say?
I say Emilia Perez.
You think Emilia Perez?
My only concern, listen, I get Kevin saying Brutalist. My only concern is, to me, that feels like a Power of the Dog or like a Roma. Feels like it might just be a little too much for people.
I hope we have plenty of time to talk about this for the next several weeks.
When are the Oscars?
First weekend of March.
In the meantime, head to the comment section down below. Let us know your most anticipated movies of 2025. We want to hear from you guys now. And then you can follow us on social media. Listeners can follow us at Jake's Takes, at Kevin McCarthy TV, at Sean_O'Connell, at Gabe Kovach. The show is at Real Blend. Now, guys, in the sense of having our most anticipated of 2025, I have figured out the title that I'm going to yell at the end of every episode until I forget to do it. And that is Marty Supreme!
Safty.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.